Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for our great salvation. We thank you for our great Savior. We thank you for your word that you've preserved so that we might be able to study about our great Savior and our great salvation. We thank you that you preserved it in such a way that we might be able to know that we have the truth and we might have the assurance of our salvation. Thank you for the saints that are gathered this evening. We pray, Lord, as we open up your word and study it together, the Holy Spirit will teach us the things you have for us, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise. For we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his sake we pray. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 19, and tonight we're just going to read a few verses, and we're going to study one of these passages that I dearly love. You know, as you study about the Apostle Paul and his travels, it's interesting about the different cities that he goes to and the things that happens to him. And as you study especially Acts, there's some cities you don't get very much information about. And there's some of them you get just enough that you always remember that particular city and that particular incident. Many of you, I know, when you study Paul's first journey, you remember where he goes into Lystra and Iconium and where he gets stoned and drug out into the garbage pile. And so you remember those things like that. And it's interesting as you go along that there's certain things that just makes you really appreciate the Apostle Paul more and more. And this is one of those passages. Last time we were studying in Corinth, but then he moves over to Ephesus. And in Ephesus, it's where we find out a lot of information, not in Luke, not in the book of Acts, because Luke writes that, and he doesn't tell us a lot of the information that's really going on with Paul, but Paul does as he writes the epistles, and he writes several epistles at this time. And so it's really interesting as what's happening here. If you remember, we closed out last week with verse 7, where the Apostle Paul had talked to these men as he comes into Ephesus here, and he talked to them about the issue of receiving the Holy Ghost. And we concluded, or at least I'll say it this way, I concluded that all he did was he laid hands on them and they received the Spirit when they understood that the baptism that John had given to them could not produce the gift of the Holy Spirit until after Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit comes. And so this is an interesting passage of Scripture. One, as I said, is controversial. It's one you have to study out, and some of those things you have to decide for yourself. But tonight we want to pick it up in Acts chapter 19 and verse 8, and we're going to read 8, 9, and 10. Acts chapter 8, verse 9, and he went, verse 8, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now, the reason we said we're just going to cover those three verses tonight, because that covers so much. You know, as you read that, you say, well, here Paul is, he's gone into the synagogue. He'd been there once before in Ephesus, and they wanted him to stay, and he could not. And this time he comes back, and he spends this time with them for 3 months of disputing and persuading. We would say debating and talking about some things, and I'm sure that the things that he was talking about primarily with those Jews was the issue that he has a problem with all along. And if you miss this, you really miss the whole purpose of the book of Acts. But it's dealing with a Jew and the fact that the Jew rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that Paul is having to persuade them of? And that is that Jesus Christ was their Messiah. He is the Son of God. And so they rejected that. They even do today. And so that's what he spends his time debating and persuading with until things get so bad that he decides to leave. You remember at Corinth that he went outside of the synagogue and he went right into a room right next to the synagogue. Well, here he goes into another place. We're not told that it's right next door to the synagogue. But we know that he left the synagogue and not only did he leave, but this time he takes some of the disciples along with him. And so what has happened is the Jews at this point have done the same things they have other cities, and that is that they've got to the point where they begin to, the Scripture says, to speak evil They spake evil of that way before the multitude. They present what Paul is saying to them as evil, something that's terribly wrong. It's contrary to all the teachings that they know. And this is something other that we've seen from day one. As Paul began his first missionary trip back there in Galatia, he had went to a couple of places prior to that, but when he goes through all the area of what we call Cilicia and Tarsus, where he was born at, and then he goes on his first trip to Galatia and Paphos on the island out there, and he comes into Lystra and Iconium and Berea and Corinth and Thessalonians and Thessalonica, and all those different places where he establishes churches, he has a very same problem, and that is the Jews begin to speak evil of what he refers to in that verse of Scripture is that way. And that way is simply that Paul is affirming to the Jews that Jesus Christ is their Messiah. He is the Son of God. And so, as usual, he can stand it for just so long, and then when things become so hard that he can't minister at all, he has to leave, or sometimes he gets run out. But what he does here is he moves to it's called a school. Verse 9, but when divers were hardened and believed not that spake evil of that way, he departed from them and separated his disciples, and disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So he goes over to the school of Tyrannus. Now, we don't know exactly what that is. You know, the scripture doesn't tell us. We don't know what kind of school that is. We don't even know who Tyrannus is. We don't even know who taught in that school. If it was a school that Tyrannus was going to teach and let Paul assist, or Paul was going to be part of it, we don't know. But we can assume one thing clearly from what we understand about Paul's writings while he's sure that the majority of the time it's Paul teaching. And I'm kind of persuaded that it was a school where Paul was allowed to probably take over and to teach and to run that school because he stays here. Now, it says he disputed daily here for 2 years. But we know that that's extended a little bit, and ultimately he spends a little bit longer than that here in Ephesus. But he taught here in Ephesus the same thing that he had taught in these other places. But also, as he teaches here in Ephesus, he also, for the first time, I believe, begins to do more of something else that's really necessary at this point in time, and we must see in our study tonight. And that is that he begins to gather these men that he has he's won to the Lord in the different places, and some of them here in Ephesus, and he begins to use them in a different way as his co-workers. And he's going to send those co-workers out into all of Asia. So as we said, he's going to wind up spending the 2 years here, but is he going to extend that a little bit longer? And it's going to wind up being here more like 3 years. And we know that from what the verses tell us. If you turn over in Acts chapter 20 and look at verse 31. Acts chapter 20 and verse 31. He's talking about the time that he was there, and as he goes back a little bit later, as we'll see when we get over in Acts 20 and 21. But he says there in Acts 20 and verse 31, Acts chapter 20, verse 31, he says, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. That's his description of what he was doing there when he was in Ephesus. So it was a very trying time for the Apostle Paul. We know that when he came into Corinth, it was under real bad circumstances. But folks, that's majority of what happens to the Apostle Paul is bad circumstances and bad times, because his message is not loved, and especially by the Jews. So they cause him such a hard time. But Paul settles in here at Ephesus, and for this 3+ years, he begins to minister in a different way. But also he begins to write here. And so a lot say that he wrote 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and he also wrote the book of Galatians while he was here. Well, we've told you along as we've been studying that we have some doubts about the issue of Galatians. You know, it could have been written earlier than this, could have been written a little bit later. And I personally believe it was written a little bit earlier, but most people that teach this and try to put a timeline on his writings say that while he's here, he teaches or he writes 1st and 2nd Corinthians and the book of Galatians. But it should be remembered here that during this time, there's something that's still going on that most of us today seem to miss. And that is that the Apostle Paul works most of the time. We think that a lot of times he works for a while and then he gets offerings and stuff, and he does do that. But you know, as the more I read the Apostle Paul's writings and read the verses of Scripture a little bit more carefully, it seems to me like that the Apostle Paul works most of the time. He labors. And the reason that I say that is because there's something there that's good for us today. There's nothing wrong with a man that wants to minister to have to work to do that. And I remember hearing someone say years ago that if you really want to minister, then you'll work to do it. And if you can work on a secular job out here and not minister, then that's what you really ought to do. But a man that really loves to minister and wants to teach the Word of God and has a heart for it will labor and be able to do it. And so that's the purpose for the laboring. Not to just make money, not to get ahead in life. We certainly need to do that. We need to provide for our families. But if you want to minister, you need to work. And the Apostle Paul did. And I say in that he's an example for us. And there's a lot of things that takes place while he's here at Ephesus that's truly an example for us to look at tonight. Come back over again to Acts chapter 20 and look at what Paul says about this issue of his working there and so forth. Acts chapter 20, and we'll look at verses 34 and 35. Acts chapter 20, verses 34 and 35. He says in verse 34, "Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessity, and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Well, how many people do you today to know that really and truly labors and works to be able to do the ministry? Or how many of them do you know that wants to have a ministry where they can be provided for? Unfortunately, there is so many like that. I remember back in my earlier years with young people talking about wanting to go into the ministry, and several of them would actually make the statement, "Well, it seems like a good profession and you can make a lot of money." Folks, that's never the reason to go into the ministry. The Apostle Paul went into ministry because he was entrusted with the gospel of the grace of God. God gave it to him, and some might say, well, he had the opportunity to not do that if he wanted to, or he could go with it. I believe that he had the opportunity. I think he had a free will. But I think that he chose to put himself under bondage to that. He chose to put himself in the position of being a prisoner to the Lord Jesus Christ, and committed to that and whatever it took. And so we know that he labored when he went to Corinth with Priscilla and Aquila. And we know that he labored here. As he writes, while he's here, he writes 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, we know, because we can figure that out. So what we want to do tonight is we're going to look at some verses over in Corinthians that describe some of the things that's going on here and his attitude about some things, and most important, the things that he did and the things that he suffered by doing those things. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 11 through 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 14. Paul says this. He says, "Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. And what? And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as a filth of the world, and are the offspring, offscouring of all things unto this day." And then he says, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you." The Apostle Paul gives us that example because he knows that if you and I today want to minister and we want to follow in his footsteps, and especially you and I that understand the revelation of mystery given to the Apostle Paul, the things that Paul experienced and he went through in his life, you're going to go through some of them. And so these are the things that he gives for an example to you and I to know that that's what we can look forward to. Now, did the Apostle Paul suffer greatly by this time? Well, the answer is yes. In fact, as we go through tonight, we're going to look at some things that the Apostle Paul went through up to this period of time. So many times we think of the things that he writes happened later on in his ministry. And as we've studied so far at this point in time now, we've covered quite a bit of his ministry. We're on his third trip. And yet, as we said in Luke, he doesn't give us an account of the things that actually goes on in Paul's life and the things that he suffered, all of it. But the Apostle Paul will give it to us. But now I want you to notice that a lot of his suffering was something that he chose to do. And that is, when we come back to our passage of Scripture, we know there that it says he was disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. What does it mean to be disputing daily? Well, that means that you go to that school every day and that you debate these people and you prove from the Scriptures and from the message that the Lord has revealed to you, you prove to them that exactly what we said a while ago, that Jesus is Christ. And so he did that daily. Well, that's a pretty full schedule, isn't it? But you know something, folks? That's just the tip of the iceberg. Because while Paul is there disputing daily in that school, he's also doing some other things. Number one, now we said he's writing. So he's writing these epistles, three of them, maybe four. And so he's writing these epistles, but also he's doing something else. You know, he doesn't just go to that school and teach all day. I'm sure he teaches for a certain number of hours. Well, and what does he do on his off time? Well, does he go to the ball game, or you know, what does he do? Maybe he goes fishing. Well, you know, I don't believe Paul ever had time to do anything like that. But I do know this. Turn back again to Acts chapter 20 and verse 18. 20 verse 18. This is a little bit later on when Paul comes back to Miletus here close to Ephesus and visits with the saints, and he says some things here that's very important. Acts chapter 20, verses 18. And we're going to read through verse 21. Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, and I have been with you all at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. They were actually lying in wait for him everywhere he went to attack him. Verse 20, it says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. What does that mean? I have taught you publicly and from house to house. So Paul was not just teaching over in the school of Tyrannus, he was out teaching in public places, as his manner was, wherever he could find a crowd. But also, he says, from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. So Paul not only was busy with the ministering in the school, and I'm persuaded that this school was really a place where Paul was training these workers and preparing men to go out, because from here we're going to see a little bit, he sends out a lot of workers around, because there's places, there's churches that started that they don't know Paul, they know him by name, but they've never seen him face to face, but it's his co-workers that he has sent out. Now if you read on there in Acts chapter 18, let's read on verses 22 through 24, and he says, now behold, I go bound, notice that, bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. So Paul is going somewhere to minister and to do something another, and he knows it's trouble. But you know what, folks? Anywhere Paul ever went, he expected that, didn't he? He knew that. That was nothing new to him. But he says in verse 24, but none of these to me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So where did Paul have it easy at? Where did Paul have it easy at? You know, from the very first time he gets saved over in Damascus, he has a problem. He has to be let down over the gate, over the wall and escape out of town. So he was always on the run. Well, let me tell you something. He didn't have it easy at Ephesus. not only did he have this issue of teaching in that school and training these men and public speaking and going house to house and ministering and writing all these epistles, but you know, he had a constant fight. A constant fight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as he writes this epistle back over to the church there in Corinth, he says some things about something that's taking place here in Ephesus. He says this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32. He says, "If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." Now, what is he saying there? "I have fought with beast at Ephesus." What do you think he's talking about? You know, we know that at Ephesus there was a great amphitheater there, and they had all kind of games and stuff, and even they said at times they would have people that would get in there and fight the wild beast. But it was for sport, and then sometimes for other reason. But I don't think that's what Paul's talking about. I think that the people that he's talking about there are men. I think they're the adversaries. I think they're the ones that he's talking about lying in wait everywhere. They don't like his message, and they're motivated and inspired by Satan himself to stop that message. So Paul had many adversaries. If you come over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and verses 8 and 9. He says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 9. He says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great day and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." There are many adversaries. And so Paul knew that he was going to be fought against. He knew that he was going to be somebody there persecute him. But he didn't let that stop him. Now, come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You and I today, if we get in the line with the Apostle Paul, if we study this book and if we believe this message and we join in with teaching this message that the Apostle Paul preached, we know something's going to happen to us. And so here's what Paul says again as he's writing this letter over to Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 through 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 through 16. Paul says this starting in verse 9. He says, "For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as a filth of the world, and the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech ye, be ye followers of me." If you and I follow the teachings that the Apostle Paul promoted, that message that was given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ, then these are the kind of things we need to expect and look forward to. Paul wrote to the church over in Thessalonica and says, "You were appointed unto these things. I told you these things would happen. The afflictions will come. And folks, you're not going to be loved in the world today." And when we talk about the world today not loving you, you understand we're talking about the religious world. It's not so much the world out there per se, but Christendom as such. The world today in religion is primarily run by Satan, unfortunately. And so when you follow the apostle, you separate yourself from that, and you actually become an enemy to all this organized religion in the world today. But the Apostle Paul all the way through all of his epistles, wrote these things clearly to us. It should not be no surprise. But most of all, we should never tell someone, oh, if you'll just serve the Lord today and get into the ministry, everything will be wonderful. God will bless you. He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. And if you do all these things, well, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? That's what people do to deceive people today, and it's not correct and it's not scriptural. But you know, the thing about it is, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians over there, he was writing to us today. And he reminds us of all these things, but also he wrote later to the church. And even though they suffered, and even though he talks about these hard times and the things that was going to befall them because they trusted him and followed him in this message of the Lord Jesus Christ, he also reminded them of something else that I would like tonight for just a moment to remind you of. And that is, following Paul means, yes, persecutions. Following Paul means rejection and not being loved by the world as such. But following the Lord Christ means something else. And so the first thing that Paul wrote to that church over in Ephesus was this. I want you to turn there, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1 through 6. We don't want to give you the idea that everything is so tough in life that you can't make it and you're going to be discouraged and fall by the wayside, because it's not. Because if you understand who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ and what you got, just like Paul did, then the little problems that you have and the sufferings, won't matter. They won't be so bad, because you can handle them just like Paul did. And even though you will never have the things to contend with that Paul did, unless things change mightily in the next few years, you'll never suffer what Paul did. But I want you to notice what Paul did in writing to that church to cheer them up and to remind them of what they have. In Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and graces in Christ. If we stop right there, wow, that's enough, isn't it? God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. When you think about that and you understand that and you appropriate that in your life, the pain and the suffering and the rejection and anything else that you run into just is pale in comparison. Okay? But notice what he says. Go on in verse 4 down through 6. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Praise the Lord. Did the church at Ephesus need to hear that? Oh yes, they certainly did. I hope you understand that tonight, because you need to hear that too. You know, you don't need to just think about the bad times and the bad things and the suffering and so forth. No, you need to understand that the things may be bad now, but the best is to come. The best is to come. But you know, come back to Acts, and we see that Paul was suffering these things and all that he's doing. But you know, it doesn't stop there. Paul also had other things to concern him while he was there. Besides this ministering, this teaching, this sending out these men, this writing, this suffering, he also had some other things to contend with, to concern himself with. And that was, well, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. What else do you think consoled, that kept him on his toes, so to speak, that kept him worrying about things, or concerned about things, and a desire more to go and to do? What was it? Well, he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, which he wrote not too long after 1 Corinthians, I believe. But he says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. He says, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Was Paul the apostle concerned about all those churches that he'd started? Oh, yes. If there's anything clear, he loved those saints in those churches, and he loved those churches. That's the thing also now that caused him to suffer mentally, because sometimes things didn't always go well in the church, and he established churches and they didn't always go well, but he established churches and he was going to establish more churches even while he's here in Asia. So it's not just the churches he's already established, but it's even the new churches he's working on at this time through his helpers. If you come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 19. Paul says the churches, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19, the churches of Asia salute you. Notice Asia. Now that's where Paul is at there in Ephesus in Corinth. And Corinth is in Achaia, Greece, and Ephesus in what we call Asia or Asia Minor, and where he was establishing these churches. And this is kind of his base of operations right now. But he says, the churches of Asia salute you, Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. So there's these churches that are in the process right now of being established that he's concerned about. And come back there to in that same chapter to verse 15. And let's look at verses 15, 16, and 17. He says, I beseech ye, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is of the first fruits of Achaia. So he mentions a person over here that now is he's going to be working with that come out of Achaia, one of the first fruits there. You remember he says he baptized the household of Stephanas, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Addicted themselves. You know what addicted means, don't you? Something other you just can't get along without. It's got a hold of you and you can't turn it loose, whether you want to or not. But they've got that message and they've addicted themselves to the ministry. He says, that ye submit yourselves unto such. You need to be part of that. And to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Archaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. And he goes on talking about these helpers and so forth. This is something another that Paul's concerned about. Remember that we read earlier that the Apostle Paul talks about working with his own hands to supply that which he needed in his ministry, but not only himself but also those that were helpers in his ministry. Oh, how many of us today would be willing to work and try to help someone else as well as supply our own way? As I said a while ago, it's too bad that we have a lot of men that want to teach and stuff, but they're not willing to work. They're not willing to provide a way to do it. Well, the Apostle Paul did. And by this time, the Apostle Paul had suffered so much physically. To honestly, folks, it's hard to understand how that a man that suffered is what he has suffered by this period of time. We're talking about 20 years from the time of Pentecost to here. We're talking about so much this man has gone through. So we say, how could Paul suffer so much and how could he still go on? How could he still go on? And you know, we need to go back and look at it a second because he did suffer an awful lot by this period of time. But it didn't discourage him. It didn't stop him. If any one of us, I'm persuaded, would have went through what the Apostle Paul had gone through by this time, we would have fallen by the wayside. But not Paul. Not Paul. You know, people talk about Paul being weak and so forth. Oh, he might have been small in stature, but he was not weak. And he was certainly not weak in the Lord. So he worked and did those things. But how he could do it after he had suffered all that he had. And what I want to do tonight is I want to come back and read that passage of Scripture to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to read these verses because when Paul is writing 2 Corinthians, he's in Ephesus. And at this point in time, he's on his third trip, and he has already experienced these things. Now, we know, if you're familiar with your Bible, you know when he's on the trip over to Rome that he's shipwrecked. You know that he's in other places where he's whipped. You know when he goes back to Jerusalem, there he's whipped. You know about all those things. But, folks, that hasn't happened at this period in time yet. But when you get here, he writes about the things that's already happened to him. And I want you to look at it and just ask yourself, if I had experienced all that, would I be able to continue? Would I be able to say, it doesn't bother me, it's not going to affect me, I'm going to minister, regardless of whatever it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and starting verse 23 and read down through verse 33. And look at this list of the things that the Apostle Paul goes through. He says in verse 23, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, and labors more abundant." And labors. Remember, he said every place that he went, he labored, he worked. He provided for his way to minister and for those that helped with him. And then he says, "In stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in death oft." In death oft. We think about the one time back over there in Lystra and Derbe, in that area. Verse 24, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one." Where in the world was all that at? You know, we didn't read about all that coming through in Acts, did we? But you know, when you go back in his epistles and you study these different places, and we find there's a period of time back there when Paul left Jerusalem and spends 15 days with Peter, and he goes up into Cilicia, Tarsus, and Antioch, and he ministers up there. We don't hardly have anything about that. A lot of the times when he was there, he suffered these things. Verse 25, "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was a stone. Thrice I suffered shipwreck." Three times he was shipwrecked. We know about one. "A night and a day I have been in the deep, and journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness." And when he talks about then in fastings often there, it was not the kind that he did for some particular reason. It was because he didn't have food to eat. Okay. Verse 28, "Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily," what we read a while ago, "the care of all the churches." Who is weak, and I'm not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artius the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. Through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Sometimes when you're feeling sorry for yourself and you're discouraged, you turn and read that passage of Scripture and just ask yourself, could I experience that and not be discouraged? Could I experience that and keep going? Could I experience that and say, the care of the church, the care of the ministry, my responsibility to that is more important than anything else? Well, you know, there's something else that even caused Paul to be weary, and at this time to be a problem for him. You know, it seems like he kind of sums up everything there, doesn't he? But you know, at this time, we said the Apostle Paul here, he writes 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and maybe he writes Galatians. That's where most people credit him with writing the book of Galatians, is long in here somewhere. And I don't know about this, but maybe the Apostle Paul, while he's in Ephesus, we know that he is in a location where he has access to people coming from Corinth right across the sea there in a very short period of time on ship, and he's on the seashore over in Asia. Corinth is over in Achaia. And so we know that he's in a place where he can get information, and he's there over 3 years, and he gets a lot of information. And we know that he heard about the Galatians. And he says, "I marvel you're so soon removed from him." So whether it was at this time that he heard that, I don't know. And maybe that was when it was, and he wrote that. Did that distress him? Certainly it did. And then also, while he was here, we know that he heard about the church at Corinth. You remember, as he writes over to the church at Corinth, he writes a letter that we actually don't have in our Bible. It's not considered part of Scripture, but we know that in the Scripture there that he does. And he writes a letter talking about the gross immorality that's going on in Corinth. We don't have that in what we call 1st and 2nd Corinthians, but we do have an account of him writing that letter. In 2nd Corinthians chapter 4, these things These things are enough to discourage you by themselves. But to think about all the man has suffered, how he must feel in his body, the aches and the pains from all this, I cannot imagine how a person would feel after that kind of punishment. But then to hear that these people that he's led to the Lord, that are turning away from the gospel, and to hear that they're living in gross sin and not paying any attention to him, then that's terrible. But I want you to notice something that's very important, and we'll close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we want to read verse 8 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Paul says, "We are troubled on every side." Well, "yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not." Now you understand why he says that, don't you? "But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." That's what kept Paul going, was that inward man. That issue of God giving him that message and giving him some more and giving him some more. That renewed him. His old body was falling apart, literally. Verse 17 says, "For our light affliction," he calls it, "which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not are eternal." Oh my, if there's anybody ever qualified to write the words of Scripture like that, it was the Apostle Paul. Because he knew what he was talking about. He experienced it. He suffered it. He's not writing and talking about something other he's heard about. But he experienced it. The Lord knew what he was doing when he called Saul of Tarsus and made him Paul the Apostle. I hope and pray when your time comes for you to suffer a little bit that you can. And I hope the time comes when you to stand for the Lord you can. And that you'll have a ministry, whatever it might be. We know this, that the Apostle Paul goes through the issues clearly in the book of Corinthians, that the body of Christ today is to be compared with the fleshly body in the sense that it's all connected to the head. Every part, every member of that body is precious. Every member, God put them there for a purpose and a place, and every one of them are necessary and important, and not one is more important than the other. Please understand that tonight. You're precious to the Lord Jesus Christ if you're a member of the church, the body of Christ. I hope tonight you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior. He shed his blood for you that you might have eternal life. Simply believing and trusting in that. If you'll do that, he will save you. Let's have a word of prayer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you tonight for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for such a great Savior. We thank you for someone that can forgive us of all our sins when we deserve to go to hell. We thank you for someone that loved us so much that you'd die on the cross, suffer all the humiliation and the beatings and the whippings, and then to die a death that we could not understand and we cannot know. And thank you that we'll never have to experience. Thank you for a wonderful Savior. Thank you again for these folks that are faithful to come and study with us this evening. And we'll just be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for his sake we pray. Amen.